promise.
Welcome back to the Michelle Woodhouse Show. It is Thursday, the 15th day of February. So grateful to have you with us today. We've been talking about vaccines, mandates, a variety of things, kind of the pre-COVID, post-COVID world. Just to give you a couple news hits as we head into the last hour of the show here. Just remember, early voting starts today and runs through the second day of March. With Super Tuesday on March the 5th, you can go to ncsbe.gov. Find out where you can vote. I love the voter search option. Put your name in there. Scroll down a little bit. You can pull up your sample ballot. It is a big, robust ballot in the state of North Carolina. Every time we talk about issues, which is what we do Tuesday through Thursday on the Michelle Woodhouse Show, 1 to 3. Your vote is your voice. So don't miss this opportunity and vote early. Don't vote often. Just vote once. Remember, this is the first year you will need a voter ID. So pay attention. Make sure that you're there ready to go. Top stories we're continuing to watch here on the show and throughout the day on WPTF. The Kansas City Chiefs parade shooting that has left one dead and 20 injured. North Carolina airports, 4 were awarded federal aid through the infrastructure bill. And I was corrected. I think I did say something wrong, and I was so grateful for one of my amazing colleagues here at WPTF to come in. Pete Buttigieg was actually in Charlotte this morning. Today is Thursday. The week just goes by so fast when we're here in studio. It's fantastic. It's actually Thursday. And Pete Buttigieg was in Charlotte this morning to tout the investment in 4 North Carolina airports, receiving some of the funding through the Joe Biden infrastructure bill. The new Hanover airport got $4 million. RDU receiving 12, Charlotte 27 million, and the cute little Avery County Airport is going to get $2 million. Avery County, little nugget of information we shared at the beginning of the show, has never elected a Democrat the entire time that the county has been incorporated. It is a beautiful, beautiful area in the mountains of North Carolina. We will be joined next week by Congressman Peter King to talk about what went wrong in the George Santos seat that was lost back to Democrats, what Republicans need to learn from that New York loss, and so important as we go in to the 2024 election cycle. But we're joined in studio by Mindy Sportsman, Tara Niebaum, 2 North Carolina medical freedom fighters. You can follow them at 2, citizenmoms.com. You can also visit their PACS website at northcarolinagrassrootsgov.com. Follow them on Telegram. We started to talk about this petition. And so, Tara and Mindy, I'd love for you to kind of bring us back on this. It's under consideration through March the 4th through the Department of Labor. How can our listeners get involved, get educated? What do they need to do to really understand what's coming?
So you can go to twocitizenmoms.com, and we've got 3 live links right now. One of them is to a call to action that is going to help you get engaged legislatively. One of the things that we've figured out is that the North Carolina General Assembly actually paved the way here, making this petition possible by doing things like suspending the state's anti-mask law, passing testing, tracking, tracing, isolation, and quarantine by class or category. So we've got tons of COVID overreach bills, right, which allowed the sort of COVID tyranny and medical totalitarianism to make its way into North Carolina. None of it has ever been repealed. And I should also offer that we have currently, just in the last 2 weeks, spoken to multiple members of the North Carolina General Assembly and asked, will you begin to peel back some of these overreach bills? And will you reinstate, as a starting point, the state anti-mask law?
Which Republicans suspended.
Yes, which you guys suspended, right? You guys made the mess. Help us clean it up. Will you consider sponsoring an amendment to put this law back on the books? Because here's the deal. We know that masks not only don't work, they embolden crime, they are a public safety threat, and they harm the wearer, right? The science is out. There's almost complete scientific consensus. Even the CDC and Fauci are starting to like back down on this stuff. So if we could reinstate the anti-mask law, if we could find a Republican sponsor to do this, we've taken what was really the doorway into the rest of the tyranny off of the table. We've also taken the tool of disparity and discrimination away, right? We were talking about the fact that even for those who asserted a religious exemption to the vaccine mandate, what happened? Well, you've got to wear a mask 12 hours a day. You've got to take a test every day.
They weaponized the mask if you did not comply.
Right. So we are asking the Republican legislators, anybody in the North Carolina General Assembly who will consider sitting down and talking with us to reinstate the anti-mask law. We're asking, you know, for them, get a hold of us if you're willing to have that conversation. We're asking for North Carolinians to get a hold of their, whoever is your representative, your senator, have the conversation. We have put a link to our call to action and the proposed bill on our website.
Send it to your representative.
Yep. And let us know, you know, the feedback. We, interestingly enough, we had one person who met just last week with one of our representatives, and she informed him that anyone who wanted to reinstate the anti-mask law was too far right to have a conversation with. So this is something that was common sense, right, for 50 plus years. You don't wear masks in public for purposes of public safety. We were talking about this the other day with somebody. Just think about this. Prior to 2020, I love that you said that you actually divide your life pre-2020 and post-2020.
I think we all do.
I think we all do. Mm-hmm. We often refer to COVID as one long day. Mm-hmm. 4 years. It feels like one long day. And so at the end of the day, ultimately what we want to do is just go back to when common sense was common. And let's re-implement what was common sense for public safety. Let's get the anti-mask law back on the books. And then from there, let's have conversations about repealing all of the rest of them.
But you can label that American.
Thank you.
Let's go back to America. Right?
Thank you. Yeah. Well, and this is the other question that we've been asking people. We figured out very recently that we've been pigeonholed, that medical freedom is some kind of single issue. So here is our question to everybody listening. Is there a difference between freedom and medical freedom? Is there a difference? Can you segregate?
Where's the line?
Where's the line? Can you segregate autonomy over your own body and the word freedom? So actually, it's funny. We speak as medical freedom activists, but really, we're just freedom activists.
So you pass all of your protective rights, say, to vote. What happens if you don't have the medical vaccine passport to get in to vote? Your education. You did not have your vaccines.
Can't go to school.
Well, and I, as I was kind of recapping some top news stories, the New York congressional race, that was the George Santos seat. He was removed from Congress. The seat has gone from Republican to Democrat. What is the number one issue that was being stated is why it happened? Well, abortion, right? So what we saw happen kind of, again, in the pre-COVID, post-COVID world, the pro-life community really measures, you know, pre-Dobbs, post-Dobbs, right? And so you have, and we're gonna look to Brad, I think, to this. I've got in-house with me Brad Knott, congressional candidate in the 13th Congressional District. Thank you for taking time out. First day of early voting. But I know that this group of women and North Carolina grassrootsgov.com has endorsed your candidacy. They are your choice in the 13th Congressional District. When the Dobbs case happened and abortion came back to the states, as I think we would all agree, that's exactly where it needed to be. The conversation from the left was predominantly my body, my choice. But that didn't seem to be the same argument in 2020 when COVID was happening. And so you said, let's get back to America. We're talking about freedom as the umbrella for all things. It's what separates us from every other country on the globe. For you as an attorney who has fought for families, has stood up against the drug cartels, multiple other things. When you look at why you stepped away from your work as a prosecutor to step into a congressional race, to go to the swamp, to be able to fight for North Carolinians, to stand with women like these who fight for freedoms, why is this such an important issue for you?
Well, thank you. I didn't know these ladies before I jumped in, and they were recommended to me by some very close friends of mine. And first of all, I can't believe that they're grandmothers. The energy, I wish I had some of it. But they brought the medical freedom issue with such force and persuasion, making the case that you can't really have freedom without medical freedom. And, you know, the Declaration of Independence, you go back to those words, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are what? Created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their powers from the governed. And with my experience as a federal prosecutor during the COVID, there was zero balance in terms of we get our rights from the Lord, from our Creator. That was a very profound statement, the Declaration of Independence, that set the United States apart from all other countries. It is self-evident that we serve Him, not the government. And the government should work for us and not the other way around. And with, you know, whether it be the COVID vaccine and the effects from the COVID vaccine, that was really turned upside down overnight. I mean, we sacrificed everything, whether it was economic liberty, freedom of movement, freedom of association, the right to be safe in our own homes. I mean, we were talking at the break, there were criminals that were released because of COVID. The right to be safe. The government neglected its duty because of this period.
Can you stay on with us on the other side of the break?
Sure.
Because I really want to talk more about this. You're listening to the Michelle Woodhouse Show here on WPTF Radio, WPTF News Time 216.